What happens when your performance at work becomes the only definition of your self-worth? In today's episode of Failure Files, we'll hear from Shruti Iyer about her year as the executive director of a nonprofit working with children from low-income communities. In spite of achieving all the outward markers of success, Shruti's top-down approach meant that these accomplishments had no buy-in from the team and left her feeling lonely, sad, and burned out. She remembers this as a time in her life where she failed not only as a leader and colleague, but as a daughter, friend, and partner. Hi, I'm Tanaya, and you're listening to Failure Files, a podcast by India Development Review, or IDR. Our show features highly relatable narratives of failure by people working on complex issues of social change. Their stories remind us how the path to resilience cannot be built on success alone. Failure is a necessary condition for it. And now, let's hear from Shruti.
This failure story has been a hard one to put down, mostly because the shame and guilt caused by this are still alive. I hope to reflect honestly on what went wrong through this and find closure. Perhaps it will resonate with others struggling to find the words. It was 2017. I was in my late 20s and based in Bangalore. I had been in the development sector for more than 7 years and had a couple of years in the corporate, with 2 fellowships to my credit and a decent trajectory through a mid-management leadership role, I was ready to make the next move. When I was offered a senior management role in Mumbai, I was more than thrilled to accept. And that is how I landed up as the executive director of a not-for-profit working with children from low-income communities. When I joined, my vision was to grow the program by at least 3 times in that year, lower the cost per child by 50%. Innovation and scale at the lowest cost are very close to my heart. I was ready for this. Moving to Mumbai, a city with multiple funding opportunities that would offer a lot more independence, access, and exposure to a female entrepreneur, all this was just the cherry on the cake. I was not prepared for what came next. A month into my joining, 2 senior team members left, which apparently is not unusual when there's a change in leadership. Our organization was also struggling with funding and partner delivery, something I've heard all not-for-profits go through. Initially, the founder was able to help me ease into the role. But with a full-time job of her own, it was always hard to get more time from her. Soon, I was the only senior leader on the team with a dysfunctional board and an inexperienced team. On my part, I did not trust the team's abilities and did not have the bandwidth to help them build the necessary skills. To make sure that work never stopped, I kept adding more to my plate without delegating, blurring lines between my weekdays and weekends. I thought I was protecting the team by taking on their tasks. But the result was that they often felt incompetent, unheard, and eventually disengaged. In retrospect, now I can see why. Often, they went to the founder to feel heard. I worried constantly about what will go wrong next, which made it hard for me to listen to them and connect with the team or even make space for dissent. Personally, too, I had a lot going on. I ignored the overwhelming feeling that Mumbai brought. Soaring rents, hard commutes, dire visible poverty, and fewer support systems. Mumbai was, and probably is, always going to be a sensory overload in every way. This went on for about 10 months. In the midst of all this, I took exactly a week off to get married. And with no break, jumped right back to work. After all, isn't this what all entrepreneurs are supposed to do and enjoy? By March 2018, I had raised enough for the organization to survive a year and a half. I had a second line of leadership and potential partnerships in place, we were in a much better place to achieve scale. The reason why I had joined this organization. I felt like an entrepreneur, albeit one who was lonely, sad, and burnt out. My top-down approach meant that the vision and these achievements had little or no buy-in from the team or the board. The effort it had taken for me to get there, mostly alone, left me with zero emotional energy to enjoy what I had achieved or form meaningful relationships. I had come far, but I was alone. Within a year of joining, I put my papers in. There were many, many things wrong in the system. And by not calling them out, I enabled a broken system to stay broken. The combination of my perceived lack of skills in the team, my inability to invest in them, and overworking to compensate while not taking care of myself was a perfect recipe for a bad burnout. When I left the organization, I was probably in one of my lowest phases ever, despite all that I had achieved. I was struggling with confidence. I had stopped reaching out to friends. I felt like a bad person. I was confusing being a bad manager with a bad person. I gained about 15 kgs in 6 months, and I had no idea what had hit me. 2 years and many leadership lessons later, I owe this phase several lessons. Three most important ones. Number one, building a collective vision. I learned the importance of building allies who are rooted in a shared vision. One of the activities I spent least amount of time doing was connecting with the board and asking for their help, mostly because I never realized the importance of it. In my 14 months as ED, we, that's the board and I, never co-created the vision for my role or the organization. As a result, I constantly felt lonely, was stuck in operations, and never had a thought partner to work through many of the challenges that I faced. With a growing number of not-for-profits and number of people available to join boards of organization, it's tempting to have big names on the board. The questions I wish I had asked myself as the EDR, who do I want on the board? Why do I want to have them? How will I hold them accountable? How will I build and partner with the board? They say leadership is a lonely journey, but I think loneliness is over-glorified. I now realize it takes more strength to build a collective vision and work together to get there. There is nothing heroic about loneliness and working alone. The second lesson that I learned was being able to communicate with the team. My experience taught me the importance of having tough conversations with kindness. I recall an incident of a team member who expected to get promoted. I didn't think she was ready to make the jump. But the founder thought that she should be promoted immediately or we would lose her. My inability to have this conversation objectively impaired me and eventually left me with a disengaged employee. The same thing happened when I made a wrong hire and I could not give her feedback on her work, or when I had to ask someone to leave for non-performance. Asking hard questions, making tough decisions, and giving feedback with kindness are skills that I undermined. Thanks to tools like nonviolent communication, resources from Adam Grant, and a lot of practice, I no longer avoid these conversations. One of my biggest learnings have been that tough conversations themselves are never hard. Doing them with kindness is. Going in with the intent of being kind and retain the other person's dignity does more service to them than not having the conversation at all. I try to remember this always. The third lesson, and probably my biggest takeaway from this experience, is how to manage myself. Realizing that work is not life. Work is an important part of life, but not life itself. I had defined myself as the executive director to such an extent that it left no room for any other identity to surface. In my head, the ED had to have her act together all the time. Performance at work became the singular definition of my self-worth. This not only suffocated me, but the pressure that I put on myself never allowed me to be a full version of myself. It did not help that I had moved to a new city and was going through so many changes in my personal life. Burnout was on the cards. I did not see it coming. My confidence dropping, resorting to stress eating, not returning calls from my friends, and most importantly, not listening to my gut. Of all the things that I did wrong that year, the one I regret most was silencing my gut. My gut felt something was wrong in the system, that there were factors beyond my control that were causing things to go wrong. My journals scream of this. I did not allow myself room to experiment, laugh, or have fun, and punished myself for making mistakes. I never shared my vulnerabilities with the team. Having fun is integral to work, especially as a leader. I wonder if it is harder for young female leaders to do this and still be taken seriously. Looking at gender dynamics in leadership role has been another lesson for me. If I could go back, I would tell myself to take a break, to know that sometimes hard work is looking in the mirror and accepting your shortcomings with kindness and humility. I wish I could be kinder to myself. Leaders are often hard on those around them and harder on themselves. Female leaders may be the hardest. I failed in many ways that year, not just as a leader and a colleague, but as a daughter, a friend, and a partner. I lost friends and formed very few new bonds at the workplace, despite working with some nice people. The part of my identity that needed to care for people never got expressed that year. Usually, successes get us closer to who we want to be. For me, this failure did that. It brought me closer to myself, and most importantly, reminded me of all that I wanted to be.
Failure Files is produced by Disha Acharya, Pallavi Deshpande, Rachita Vora, Shreya Adhikari, and me, Tanaya Jagtiani. This podcast is part of a larger initiative at IDR, where alongside 15 partners, we are creating a space for candid conversations around failures and social impact. To read more about this growing movement, check us out at idronline.org. You can also share your own failure story with us at writetous@idronline.org. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.